Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Paul and Jordana, I hope your Wednesday is going well. Dave Josephson producing today. Trying to keep an eye on Jordana. But again,
Trying.
Kind of a losing proposition.
Tough,
he tries
man.
So hard. Tries so hard to keep you in line.
Get it.
Coming up on Friday, Jor, Juneteenth is now a company holiday. Juneteenth. Okay. Target, U.S. Bank, and Best Buy have moved to establish Juneteenth, the celebration of the emancipation of African Americans from slavery, as official company holidays. More and more companies adjusting internal policies in the wake of widespread protests on racial equity. And I would hope, I would think that because it's the right thing to do. Again, these companies giving people the option of taking this Friday as a holiday for Juneteenth. The president originally was going to have his rally in Tulsa on Juneteenth, which got moved to Saturday. By the way, the rates continue to spike in Tulsa.
Yes.
Coronavirus is still very much in the news in Oklahoma. So a lot of concern. Are rally goers going to wear masks? Could this be a super spreader event and lead to a lot more disease and sickness? But Tulsa, and I must have learned this at some point growing up, Jor, but I forgot about the race massacre of 1921.
Oh, horrifying. I just relearned it. Horrible.
Yeah, you just shake your head. How does this happen in America? Between May 31 and June 1st, 1921, and it was a massacre. This was a 300 black residents of Tulsa were killed. Thousands were injured. A 40-block area known as the Black Wall Street was, in essence, burned to the ground. White residents and civil society leaders looted and burned the Greenwood District of Tulsa, predominantly African American, burned it to the ground, even used airplanes to drop projectiles on the city. And so, again, another stain in our nation's history. And, again, still a lot of sensitivity about that, and local officials trying to navigate those sensitivities, Jor.
But just devastation. You know, this was an area where black people were thriving, creating a, you know, they were owning property and businesses, and they were doing really well. And the reason it happened is it began over Memorial Day weekend. After Derek Rowland, who was 19, he was a shoe shiner, he was a black man, was accused of assaulting Sarah Page, a 17-year-old white elevator operator. He was taken into custody. Angry white folks gathered outside where he was being held. They spread rumors that he'd been lynched among the black population, some of whom arrived at the cart house. Then the altercation began. Shots were fired. 12 people were killed. They're saying, as you mentioned, as many as 300 people may have been killed in that massacre. It was just tragic and never rebuilt. And also the black people could not get insurance for the businesses that were burned and the homes that were burned. So it was just a total loss. And you can only imagine how demoralizing and defeating that was after that, because it just literally was a massacre, not only of their bodies, of their humanity, but also of their business, of their ability to succeed and do well in the world. And it's just, when I read it again a few days ago, it's just tragic. Just tragic. The whole thing is tragic.
DJ, isn't there, and not to put you on the spot, but I will, there's a show right now that's streaming. Isn't it Watchmen? Watchmen? No? All right. I should have done more homework. But I know there actually is a show that depicts this online as we speak, and it has gotten rave reviews for doing a very good job of capturing the horror of this race massacre in Tulsa. And again, and I watched a couple of episodes. You can't believe that this happened in the United States. I think it, isn't it Watchmen? Yeah.
Well, we started the conversation, Paul, by you saying that Target is going to observe this as a holiday now, Juneteenth. It's also going to be observed by, was it U.S. Bank that you mentioned?
Yes. Okay. U.S. Bank, Target, and Best Buy.
Right. So there you go. So a lot of local companies sort of, you know, getting on the bandwagon. They hadn't done this in the past, but they're doing it now. The question becomes, what is the responsibility of business? And it might have been different a few weeks ago. What is the responsibility of business to the community? We've seen this trend where organizations have to be philanthropic. A certain percentages, you know, go back to the rainforest or saving the turtles or the whales or whatever your pet project is. But do businesses have a responsibility, not just to be nice, not for good PR, a responsibility to the community? We're going to speak with Top Figure co-founders Abdi Hassan and Salman Elmi about these companies that, yes, that are jumping on the bandwagon, but really in a greater sense, they are young entrepreneurs. And in a greater sense, what is the responsibility? And also, how does it look now if you are jumping on the bandwagon? So we are going to get some business advice from Top Figure co-founders Abdi and Salman when we return on News Talk 830 WCCO. So what is a corporation's responsibility to its community? And has that changed in the last 3 or 4 weeks of this social awakening we are all having? Every week, we speak with Top Figure co-founders Abdi Hassan and Salman Elmi from our We Belong segment. These are young African-American entrepreneurs who have shared their struggles with us about feeling accepted. They have been racially profiled in their own building, and we decided we need advice from them to figure out how to make it all work for other young entrepreneurs. So Abdi and Salman, welcome back to the program. Do hey, I have guys. You guys?
Are you there?
Yes, we're here. Can you hear me?
Wonderful. We can. Okay, now we got you.
We can.
Great.
So, you know, lately, guys, we're seeing a lot of organizations. For example, Paul just mentioned, you know, Target, Best Buy, U.S. Bank, they're adopting Juneteenth as an official company holiday. People are giving people time off to go and volunteer. People are giving money to donate. What do you think about these companies that are jumping on board with these racial justice initiatives?
Well, the thing that I hope, it's good that they're jumping on and they're making an appearance, you know, but I hope that they're doing it for the right reasons, you know, and as you've seen the viral, I hope you guys seen that viral email that this company, I think, if I recall correctly, it was probably Microsoft, they put out this one of their marketing bills. They were telling her, hey, we need this art painting of George Floyd, like, up, you know? And the thing that happened was she was on a time crunch, and then what they said was, we need to hurry up and do this before it's not a trend anymore. And then that's when, you know, that's what had me thinking. I'm like, are these companies really doing it for the right reasons, or are they just going along with what's going on right now just to really leverage it?
Mm. Right. For the PR value, right? Just
right, exactly.
Is it a public relations exercise? Guys, Dove Seidman wrote an essay for Fortune magazine, and he said the business of business can no longer just be business. And he said this. He said, going forward, businesses are going to have to compete on trust, responsibility, and creating and maintaining deep relationships with their stakeholders rooted in shared truths and values. And young people especially, it isn't, hey, do you make a great widget? What service? It's, what do you stand for? How are you making Minnesota. How are you making the world a better place? What advice would you have for big businesses, small businesses that want to do the right thing but maybe paralyzed? What to do? What is the best thing that businesses can do right now?
That's a really great statement. And the thing is, what I suggest really is to really find the people who are partnering with the people who are doing great work. You know, already it's within the community. So finding somebody who is a local influencer, somebody who is a local, person that is boots on the ground, that can really help expand the effort of, you know, and make it more genuine. You know, it's like, because ultimately the company can't just put out a statement, or they can't just, put out some sort of, PR run like that. They have to be partnering with somebody that's local within the community and that is already doing great work. I think that is a start, and that can really help increase the brand, depth and allow the conversation to really be more, genuine and really for people to really believe in the brand more.
People are nervous. A lot of companies don't want to do the wrong thing. They might have good intentions. What is your advice for getting started? And is there something wrong that they can do, even though they might have good intentions? What would you warn against?
I think, really there isn't a, ultimately if the action, if what the company is really going to be standing for is genuine, and by partnering with somebody, like even with social media, everything is now public. You can see the journeys of influencers on Instagram. You can see the journey of, the people who, of anybody, of any company, of anybody. The biggest thing is effort. Effort has to be, like most companies are just posting, regular marketing efforts that are just statements or anything like that. There isn't no depth or personality. And people are taking to social media, like with our even viral incident, you could see people, went to the Instagram pages of WeWork and, asked hey, what do you guys specifically are doing about this situation? And it's like company, there isn't really a wrong, thing as long as it's genuine, as long as it's really, visual, like a video statement. And partnering with somebody that's local within the community. I think that's a start,
That makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah.
But again, it's getting started, right? I mean, it if you have a mentor, and you guys would obviously be great mentors for anybody, the fact that you're doing it, you got stuff done. At the end of the day, connectivity, we talked about that, having the right gear to be able to get started. But much of it comes down to confidence, right? And and just having the confidence to take the next step and know you're going to fail, but to continue going anyway, and you pivot, and eventually, if you fail often enough, you're going to succeed. You're going to find a way forward. But, companies right now, I think, have a huge challenge. They want to do the right thing, but I think the most important thing they can do, in addition to listening, is coming up with a plan to be able to empower their employees. And I would say, raising the minimum wage to 15 is the least they can do at this point.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's one of the things, it really starts there. And it's also just, I think the practices too as well, really within the corporation have to change, as far as the, what are the diversity inclusions that are, that are there, in every management level, I think, just having a colored person, because ultimately, I remember it was a Jordana said last week, where it said that, a company that really has a more diverse team really benefits from an economic perspective too as well, by having diversity and inclusion. And that's very important. I think at every level in the corporation that's important.
Let me ask you one last question before we go. We are seeing a lot of interest, a lot of money, a lot of support going to businesses that people of color own. What is your advice on how best to use either a new platform, some new venture capital, or, you know, whatever positive issues are coming their way because of this? Because we're trying to support more Black businesses. Again, there is an awakening in this country. So what is your advice to some small business owners who now have received a lot of support after this?
The biggest thing is for them to use that funding towards the right reasons. You know, make sure that you're also giving back to the community as you got given back to, you know. And the thing we need to realize is we really need to start building, like, communities amongst business owners, you know. Like, we got to talk to Susie down the street who probably didn't get funding. How could we help her also? You know, let's say I probably got 10 grand. Could I help her out, give her $500 for her business? Could I? So it's like we got to start building this community bond, that neighbor helping neighbor. You know, we got to all help each other because at the end of the day, we're all under the same state. We're all under the same economy. So, like, how do we all win together?
Mm-hmm. And I want to add to that, and I want to really commend, you know, like, there's an agency that we partnered with, you know, Eterna Media, that really what they did is, you know, they partnered us with Snap Fitness, which is a local business here in the Twin Cities that is national and global. And they were able to, you know, allow us to do a drive, and gave us capital to help the food shortages within the youth community. And that's something that I think that using capital towards really doing the impact, you know, finding really the right, you know, organizations and having the right partners on board. I think that that is really key in expanding the impact. And that's something that I really want to really commend them on. So I think that that's really important that Abdi said that too as well, with, like, you know, having the right communities bonding together and really just making a larger impact. You know, there's so many ways.
I love that.
It just has to be genuine.
Absolutely. I love that answer about building each other up. I think that is really, really beautiful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Help your neighbors and help those who are entrepreneurial in our midst. That's great advice. Top Figure co-founders Abdi Hassan and Salman Elmi, thank you so much for joining us again this week and your words of wisdom. Keep it going, guys.
Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Guys.
Thank you so much for having us, guys.
You bet.
Got it. So, boy, talking about work a lot, are you ready to go back to work? Are you maybe working? How does that look? Is that different? There is new research that a four-day work week could benefit the employers, the employees, the public health. So what do you think about a four-day work week? We're opening the phones, 651-989-9226. Love it, hate it, already doing it? Call us, 651-989-9226. Four-day work weeks. Would you do it? Is it a great idea? Is it the worst idea ever? 651-989-9226. I think it's fantastic. I think three days off really just makes you feel so refreshed. I think sometimes when you're in the groove and you're working and you have energy for it, you can go forever and get more accomplished than breaking it up. It's not perfect, but I think having the option to do a four-day work week would be fantastic. You go now, Paul.
651-989-9226. We want to hear from you. Do you think this is a tipping point with this virus? Is this the time when more companies should at least offer the option? I didn't realize this, Jor, but about a third of employers already offer compressed work weeks. Now, there are pros and cons. I personally see a lot more pros than cons. It's more efficient, less driving, right? You put fewer miles on your vehicle, less having to mess with a commute and winter weather, and paying less for gas, probably paying less for insurance, being more efficient, and then having three full days to recoup and recover. I think a lot of people would welcome that. They did a big study in New Zealand, Jor, where they compared and they found 24% more employees felt they could successfully balance work and personal lives with a four-day work week. Stress decreased by 7% across the board. Work satisfaction increased by 5%. And job performance didn't change when doing it over 4 days instead of five. I mean, it's a little harder to measure, but if you look at specific metrics, if people can be just as productive and add just as much value for their boss, for their companies, why on earth wouldn't you consider 4 days versus five?
I think it's a fantastic opportunity. When we were building Weather Nation, you used to offer the meteorologists 4 day work weeks, but they work 10-hour shifts, right?
Yeah, it's a longer day, but it gave them, everybody 3 full days off. And I just think having that extra time with family
or friends. Or just to chill.
It gives you more time to recharge the battery. Granted, those 4 days are longer and more intense, but all things being equal, I think most people would love to have 3 days off every week.
Couldn't agree more. 651-989-9226. Terry's in Hutchinson. Terry, you're already doing this?
Anderson Reed. Hello?
Hi, Terry.
Hey, Terry.
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to let you know that I work for TENS already. That's the normal shift for us. The drawback is your Friday is really the only day you can schedule appointments.
Oh, okay. What about the weekends?
Well, or weekends. I work from 6 a.m. to 4:30. So, you know, by the time you get off work at 4:30, the last thing you want to do is run to the doctor or, you know, do anything.
Sure.
I mean, you're pretty much going home and getting ready to get up so you can be to work at 6 a.m. the next day. So it the 3 days off is nice. Do not get me wrong. That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It's not, you can get excited about it, but you almost got to try it before you know if you're really going to like it.
Okay. Terry, do you think the pros for you outweigh the cons?
I think it's pretty neutral because normally I've been a substitute teacher most of my life, and that's a 5 day, you know, you work Monday through Friday and you get out of work a little earlier, you know, you go in a little later, more sleep. I don't know. It's kind of a wash, in the summer. It's wonderful, but yeah, not so much the rest of it. I mean, it's just average. You guys seem so very, very excited about it. And I just am like, well, you know, until you try it, you know, you're not going to really know.
That's true. She's right. Terry and Hutchinson. Thank you, Terry. We appreciate you. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Terry.
I'd like
to try it.
Me too. Alan's in Montrose. Alan, what do you think about this 4 day work week?
I eat it up in a second, but I don't think my employer would go along with it. We're in a service business, and it's just, I don't know how you could do it.
I think restaurants could do it because, you know, you give your servers 4 days.
Well, I'm in wholesale distribution, so.
Oh, okay.
And it's a sales position, so it would be.
Oh, I see.
It would be great, but it would be difficult to try and swing it because it's just a matter of making sure you have all your bases covered.
For sure.
Hey, Alan?
Alan, thanks. Oh, sorry.
Alan, what if you could work 4 days at the office and maybe 1 day at home? I mean, somehow do some of your calls from home versus going into the office. I mean, is that something you'd consider?
I'm an inside salesperson, so could I do it? Yes and no. You know, there's a lot of dynamics to it that require us almost to be there because of just the way things operate.
It would be
difficult.
I get it. And it's not for everybody. And it's, you know, it's almost a luxury. Alan, thank you for the call. Thank you for the call.
You.
Keep up the good work.
Yeah, thanks, Alan.
It's kind of a luxury. You know, to have the ability to be able to do that. Whatever kind of work you do, you know, if it's not service-based, you can do it from your home or you can do it later at the office.
We have about a dozen programmers for the weather company, ARIS, our weather data company, Jor, and we look at what is actually getting done. And they have the option of working four-day weeks, 10 hours a day. And they have to hit certain metrics and write the code. And it's pretty black and white. I mean, do you hit the milestones or not? And what we found is that most of our developers are more focused. There are fewer distractions, which is not what I thought would happen. I thought there'd be more distractions at home. I think people feel maybe a little bit of guilt, working from home, that maybe they compensate for that by working longer hours. I think the problem is many times, hey, it's time for dinner, disconnect. But I don't know. I just think the time is right. In the information age, if you have an information-related job, to at least have the option of that four-day work week.
It's a good option. Our phone number is 651-989-9226. Bob in Minnetonka, we see you. We will take your call right after the break.
A lot of businesses right now are trying to get their facilities up to snuff with COVID-19, you know, whether it's putting up plexiglass barriers and reducing the possibility of contact between employees. So I heard somebody say that, hey, giving people an extra day off every week can help companies accommodate new social distancing guidelines in their workplaces and maybe help childcare schedules that are likely to be chaotic for months to come. So is it easier to get childcare if it's 4 longer days versus 5 shorter days? I don't know. I can't remember, but it makes sense to me. Lance in Brooklyn Center, what do you think of a 4-day work week?
Yeah, I already do a 10-hour work week, or a 10-hour work day, 4 days a week. And I actually really like it. I save a lot of miles on my car. I live north of Zimmerman and work in Brooklyn Center. I got this all figured out. I save about 4,500 miles of driving in a year, which equivalents to over 150 gallons of gas. Just the extra day off with the stress and being at home as well is nice.
You can get as much done. I'm sorry, Jor, but when it comes to productivity, you can get as much done in 4 days, 10 hours a day as you can 5 days. Does it work out? Or has there been any pushback with your boss?
No, my boss, my employer offers both. So I've done both. The only difference between a 10-hour day, I feel like, is when you do a 10-hour day with the commute and everything, your day is kind of shot. You just work and relax and sleep. And when you do an 8-hour day, you got an opportunity maybe to go do something as well.
Right. That's a good point. I get that.
Okay. Good call, Lance. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, Lance.
Bob's in Minnetonka. Bob, jump in here.
Yeah, number one, I really enjoy your show. I've been listening to it for years. And I remember Paul Douglas when he was on all those other TV stations. I can't remember the names right now, but he
I
was
can't
really
either.
On them.
Thank you, Bob. I appreciate that.
No, you're a great meteorologist, and I've enjoyed all your forecasts for years. But anyway, my only thought was, you know, I worked as a janitor and a custodian-type person, you know, and a lot of places, you know, if you go into, I don't know, mainly I've been working throughout this whole pandemic place thing because the company I work for, you know, programmed us as essential employees. So and I just don't see, you know, that totally happening. I mean, you still have to clean no matter if a building's open or not a lot of times.
That's right.
Depending on the circumstance, of course, but that's just my 10 cents worth.
Thank you, Bob. And we're honored that you're listening. Thank you for the kind words. I appreciate that, sir. All right.
Let's go to Janet in Cambridge. Janet says she works for 4 days and loves it. Janet, what's your situation?
Yeah, I work 4 days a week. And why I love it is because I save on my vacation time. If I want to go camping, I can take 1 day of vacation instead of two.
Totally works out. I love it. Janet, good call. Thank you.
And
Ken's in Arden Hills. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Janet. I'm sorry.
Jay from Cambridge told me to tell you hi.
Oh.
Hi, Jay from Cambridge.
Okay.
Thank you, Janet. Appreciate the call.
That is so sweet. Ken's in Arden Hills. Yeah, I think so. We want to get this in here. Hey, Ken.
Hi. I'm on the radio.
Yes,
you're on the radio, sir.
Okay. Well, where I work, it's hot. It's an unair-conditioned warehouse, and we were offered 4-day, 10-hour days. And we unanimously turned it down because 8 hours is too much in this heat, more or less 10 hours.
Yeah. That I get. And Ken, thank you for that perspective, because not everybody can do it. It's just not possible for everybody. The conditions aren't ideal. And, you know, you need a certain stamina also to be able to in an environment like that.
If there's some flexibility, too, and make it seasonal. I mean, I think a lot of people, especially in our fleeting summers, would love to have 3 days off every week during the summer. And January, does it really matter as much? Maybe not. But
yeah.
Anywho's.
When we return, we are going to talk a little bit more about that drug that was being tested sort of undercover over at Hennepin Healthcare and how it's doing for COVID patients that are on ventilators. We will talk about that. You'll hear what Dr. Osterholm said this morning on the morning news with Dave Lee. And we're also going to check in with Sloan and see what she is up to and what she's reporting on today.
That's coming up next. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. We appreciate you hanging on with us. There's some good news and some bad news, and we're going to try to share a little bit of each. So hang tight, and I'm just happy there are no tornadoes. On this date 10 years ago, we had like 48 tornadoes just in Minnesota. It's been pretty quiet on the severe weather front. We've had the sunshine. We've had the warmth. I'm soaking it up. Hey, we earn our summers in Minnesota. It's going to be a long, hot one. Stick around.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.